Bow, 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 bow. This is the post show. Blah, blah.
Bow, bow, okay, bow. So before I forget, we'll go back to the technology thing.
Hang on. Hijinks Ensue podcast post show number 29.
Ow!
If you're hearing this,
you're awesome.
That's because you're in the vault and you've donated, and that means I love you and want to help you raise your babies.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
But I don't want to father them.
Carl's Jr.
Brought to you by...
Seriously, we need to get Carl's Jr.
Whoa. There's still plenty of meat.
We don't even have Carl's Jr.'s here.
Whatever.
That was Carl.
Yeah, that was
Carl's weather.
I just saw Carl on my cart, and I was like...
Whoa. There's still plenty of meat on that bone.
Carl's weather. Brought to you by Carl's weather.
Pot, add some broth, a potato. Baby, you got a stew going.
Got a stew, motherfuckers. Anyway, so what did you want? You wanted to go back to a question about pandering.
Going back
Geek
to
TV. Geek TV.
Right. Animated Estate is the ultimate.
Oh.
Holy, you know, wait, asshole. Like, you don't know anything about technology.
Wait a second. Okay. They do the whole doo-doo.
Doo-doo.
You are now talking about the, can we rotate the image and see what the other side of the bag thing
not,
is?
VCR, well, zoom not, in on Cleo's necklace.
Not wait, only that.
Wait.
There's more of that.
That technology is approaching.
No, I know. I know it is.
Just,
but
that movie what? Was way what? Too fucking far ahead of its time.
What
that
movie?
Was bullshit.
Enemy of the State.
Enemy of the State.
On that same prison break episode I was talking about, they took a bunch of surveillance photos with a fucking camera phone.
Oh, yeah, sure.
640 by 480.
Totally surveilled.
They print them out, and they're like, it's blurry because it's a camera phone. Can you enhance? Enhancing. There. There's the crystal clear image we needed.
Right. Well, no. Okay.
And if you look in the reflection in his sunglasses.
Running Photoshop sharpness filters.
That's what Enemy of the State kind of had. But, yeah, they're rotating the thing, the real-time satellite imaging, all that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, on the last Fringe, where they're like, where would I have to be standing if I were to see the bridge like that? Okay, rotate that. And, like, they basically pulled a 3D model out of a photo and then spun it around in about a second and a half.
We are approaching that.
We actually are getting closer to that. But
it's all Google Maps.
No, but to be quite honest, we're still ways away from that.
No.
There was a 3D program that they showed to me where some guy had an image, and he traced around the image and basically made a 3D model out of a 2D image.
Oh, I saw that. But I saw something like that.
And we have programs that do that now, to be quite honest. Like ZBrush, the sculpting tool, it's a 2D program, and it'll take your 2D image and then convert it into 3D.
Then
you build on top of it.
There was a link on like Engadget a couple days ago. About this guy just invented software that will take a 2D texture, like a brick or something, and it'll render it six different ways and look for the light, where it's recessed, where it's brighter, whatever, and then it'll extrapolate that into a 3D texture that you could then import directly into a video game.
That's how we actually make games now.
Yeah, we actually...
We've been doing that
for years. Well, then it's different, because whatever it was, it just came
exactly,
out.
No.
Okay,
that's
then
exactly
I'm saying it wrong, because whatever it was, it just came out.
It's a very similar technique, because that's what... Like, we use this program, which... NVIDIA actually was the first group to make one where you can take a 2D image.
You just want Crazy Bump?
Well, Crazy Bump is the high evolution of that.
Yeah.
But NVIDIA came out with the first one, which is we'll take a 2D image, we'll basically scan for light, and then, it makes a recessed image.
Right.
Which is normal mapping, and that's how you get, like, detail on flat surfaces.
Yeah.
But, somebody, this was actually kind of cool. Somebody basically set up lights. They set up because it gets really in depth on that, because the color spectrum is like, I forget what the color spectrum is for normal map, but if you look at it, it's all purplish blue.
Yeah.
Because it's pure light image, like
light and dark is all it's looking at.
Data. Well,
it's like it's subtractive light instead of additive light or something. It's the opposite of what you normally see.
Sure.
And so the first time I had seen this, I was like, holy shit. But now, like, there's this huge evolution of that where now people are writing programs where it'll do essentially what you just said.
Well, but I mean...
But you can... It'll find that information and refine the information.
Yeah.
And it makes, like, a flat brick texture look like real brick.
Have you seen...
That's completely recessed.
Have you seen
out.
The Microsoft demo?
The Photosynth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, with enough photo source, you can make anything 3D.
And they used Flickr.
Yeah, I know. That's
they, like, typed they a certain cathedral into Flickr.
Oh, yeah.
And it got 10 million images and built a 3D model that you could, like, walk inside and look around in and, like...
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that was insane.
Yeah, the singularity is approaching.
And then the other thing that I saw recently that was... Oh, my God, it was fucking nuts. Okay, number one, it makes... This was, like, a recent development... It was like college students came up with it or some research lab or whatever, but no one's using it yet because it's not even available. If Hollywood doesn't like buy this technology for gajillions of dollars, I'll be surprised. You can take a video. You can walk around with a camera and you're like, video, looking up there, looking down there, looking at that. Everything looks great. Okay, blah, 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 walk away. Then you go back and look at your video and you go, oh, shit, light was shining in through that window and I can't see the window. You go back and you take a staged picture of that window, give it to the software.
With the lighting that you wanted.
Yeah. And then the software replaces the window in the video or whatever. No matter what angle you turn, no matter where the camera looks, it, and without you saying, map this point to this point to this point to this point, it does it automatically.
Just knows.
And it replaces that image. So they were using this to say, like, we took this video and there was a car here. Let's go back when the car is not there, take a picture, give it that, and then show the video and the car is just not there in 3D. And they pay people right now good money to paint shit out.
Frame by frame.
Yeah. And this is just going to do it. That's insane.
Well, what was really cool about that, though, is that they, for some stuff, they took, like, regular handy cam footage. Like, I'm just going to look at all this, like, walk around the room, whatever. And then they took a digital still camera. Took photos of the same thing, used the photos as source to basically stitch the video back together in high def from a regular camcorder. because the still camera gets so much more detail. So it takes the motion from the video, but the still image for all of the data, and you actually end up with high def video from a low def video plus a few photos that you took yourself in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's insane. You know, the problem with that is you read those articles, that technology doesn't reach consumers sometimes for a decade. I mean, it just never trickles down to
HDTV.
Yeah, well, no, that was one of the biggest problems. HDTV.
They had HDTV in Japan in the 70s.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is, like...
No, he's right. That's what I'm saying. It takes forever to actually get to us, the end user.
Yeah.
Because there will be some
sort of... The Japanese are not the end user.
There'll be some sort of...
They're the robots.
Right. Right.
They're the master control program.
There'll be something that'll, like, constrain us, and it'll probably be the government or somebody trying to regulate costs.
Oh, well, you remember, sure, Google just launched that satellite that can, like, read your watch from space.
Sweet.
And the purpose of it is to enhance Google Maps, but the government technically owns it, and the government gets the high-res, high-def images. Google isn't even allowed to view the high-res images from that particular satellite.
Weird.
But the government can, like, log on and go, ooh, look at Joel's house. Is he cooking on the, you know, back porch right now? He is. Oh, good. Excellent. Oh.
That's against the terms of his lease.
Yeah, yeah, right. Right.
Evicted.
Somebody needs to cut their yard.
Yeah. Like, they're sending out notices for yard work, and then they're sending it out with, like, and we recommend.
But they're dropping it from the satellite, so it's like you see, like, this, like, little meteorite breaking the atmosphere.
Like, just fucking craters in your backyard.
And then it says, if you still had a yard, you should have mowed it. This is why you don't anymore.
Ah, good times.
Speaking of, so following up on that question, though, things that TV does to really turn off geeks.
I actually have a counterpoint to that.
Okay.
Because, well, back whenever I was complaining about, I fucking hate it when shows use made-up interfaces that are bullshit and aren't usable at all, or whatever, or just, like, super glossy, but... just dumb. A counter to that, this was actually really unusual, is a movie that made up their own interfaces. It was sci-fi, it was in the future, but if you actually stop and look at every single time that there's a piece of computer interface on the screen, it's all logical, makes sense, looks totally usable, and that's actually Event Horizon.
Oh.
Which doesn't... It's really strange. If you actually go back to that movie from a design standpoint, everything about that movie is, like, flawless. Like, the script fucking falls apart in the last act, but...
I would have ignored that completely based on how bad the movie was making me cry.
Oh, God, I love that movie so much. It's so good until it ends, but I was really impressed that they have, like, media software. They have, like, just, like, different types of control interfaces for different parts of the ship, and every time you see it, like, somebody actually had the foresight to, like, hey, if you actually had to write software that did this, how would
you... remember when we were talking about Dean Kamen online earlier, and I was saying he comes off as kind of a dick? Because he does.
He's brilliant.
He's amazingly intelligent. He was doing that a demo of his new Luke arm. First of all, he talked about how the government tasked him. They said, hey, we need you to make a replacement limb for soldiers. Again, it's always... the government's the biggest corporation with the most money and the most resources. So whatever they get... whatever they want, they get, you know, and they have unlimited resources. When they don't have enough, they just take them. They just, you know, we're out of money.
Just
there's more money. Oh, okay, cool. There's more money. Cool. Excellent. No recession. Okay, excellent. So anyway, the government said, hey, we got good men coming back from Iraq missing arms. I want to give them arms. And it's not like, hey, there's people all over the world that could just... No. Fucking soldiers lost arms fighting a pointless war.
Patriots defended their country.
They need arms. They tell Dean Kamen, you've got a year. I want it to weigh no more than a human arm. I want everything to be self-contained. All the batteries, everything.
And it needs to somehow fit on every possible body type.
Right. And so he starts building it, and they're like, holy shit. Number one, everyone's missing a different amount of arm. If it's clean, if it's gone, then we've got something to work with. But I have no idea how much arm you're still going to have left. So he builds one, he builds another one. The first one he builds, which... oh, they also said that it had to be able to pick up a grape without crushing it, or a raisin.
But if you picked up a kitten, you would crush it.
And tell the difference. It had to be... the arm had to be able to know if it was a grape or a raisin. So he builds this first arm. They get a test guy. And the way he controls it, they took all the nerve endings that went into his dead piece of arm, pulled them out of his arm, and sewed them into his chest... so that when his brain thinks lift arm, it actually flexes a certain muscle. Then they hooked up electrodes to each of those points. So basically he ends up with a series of like circuits, and his brain is completing the circuit by saying lift your arm. So he puts this thing on, and 2 days later he's like picking up a can, drinking out of it, putting it back. Then they figure out, like right after that, that they don't even need to do the surgery
to fuck with the nerves.
Yeah. Well, number one, they figured out, hang on a second, we're telling this guy, you need to put your arm out. Okay, now think about rotating it. Now think about getting the can. Now think about closing it, but don't crush the can. And no one thinks that way. They have a thought, and the action happens. So he comes up with an interface that says, there's a 3D grid in front of you. All you have to think about is where in that 3D grid you want your arm to go, and what you want it to do when it gets there. So you can be like, grab something lower left, push a button upper right, you know, like... And I'm like, holy shit, this guy's fucking brilliant! Like, and he's come out with an 8-pound arm that straps to your body, works, it's controlled by your brain. They've figured out another thing they're working on. He says they should have it done within like less than a year, like 6 months. That's a neural interface that doesn't even puncture the skin. That it can read through infrared light. It can read your brain signals in your brain stem and control the arm.
Dude, the Matrix is fucking happening.
It's fucking crazy.
I got that now.
And it's got nothing for... there's no consideration for cost, though. The arms cost like millions.
Would you put your brain in a robot body?
No.
Only you and I get that.
Yeah, that's...
I have no idea what you're talking about. Is that from C-Lab?
Yes.
It's always from C-Lab.
I know. I hate you for not watching that show.
The other thing that he figured out that was crazy was that when you pick something up, you don't necessarily have all the weight on that arm. Your body compensates. So, like, you might tense up your left side to pick up something on the right. So they invented a series of bladders that you wear like a vest, and when you pick something up, it knows it, and it tightens around your chest to like distribute the weight. It's fucking crazy. This guy... and then he invented a fucking thing that purifies water, and it's like the size of a washing machine.
Like a little mini fridge.
Yeah. Anyway. So get him to write all the geek shows. He knows.
Yeah. He's fucking awesome.
We were going to go back to the list of the best worst sci-fi ever.
Oh speaking of lists.
List. Yes, go.
Uh-oh.
Well, no, go ahead. I got a link.
Go.
I sent this to Josh last night.
Oh, God. Oh.
Why is this not working?
You know, it's better that way. We don't need to put anyone else through that.
It was
God,
the
that fucking Smells Like Teen Spirit was so bad.
Oh, I saw that. The five worst high school bands.
Five worst high school cover bands ever.
I like that they start playing Iron Man, yeah. And the rest of the band is looking at the drummer like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah. And we cannot play when you are playing a different song. Like,
no, he was playing the right song. It was just like twice as fast and then as third
and
as slow.
Way slower, and,
then,
like, and they're like... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well,
it
I love how
it goes... Dun, 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 dun. And then the drums are supposed to go bopple 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 bopple, but he goes like bopple bopple bop 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 the rest of the band is like, dude, you are killing us.
No, the Smells Like Teen Spirit was awesome. One, because the
girl was so into it. She was wearing her Hot Topic pants.
Well, okay, the girl was totally into it. She couldn't sing worth a shit.
No.
And then whenever the guitar solo happened, I fucking
he
started
didn't
crying.
Have distortion.
Like,
and
no,
I remember that kept, time. It's when you couldn't afford it.
Yeah. Well, no, he kept looking down, going like, "Why is my distortion not working? Why
you
is
think?
My distortion?" Yeah,
because it was like clean guitar going.
Well, if you look, there's a couple times where he like looks down. And it's like. He can't get it, and he looks at the drummer and is like, where's my distortion? And he kind of, like, panics and just goes, fuck it, I'm just going to go with what I got.
Yeah.
And, like, it's
oh,
like...
Oh, man, so many memories. So it brings good. Back so many memories so of being good. 14. But next on the list of the best, worst sci-fi movies of all time, Starship Troopers.
Oh, definitely.
Which gets its own category of being, like, maybe one of the best movies of all time.
Yeah, I remember...
I only hated that movie because they marketed it as something that it wasn't.
Oh, I don't remember the marketing.
I do.
Well, the marketing it was that it was like a totally serious, like hardcore war flick.
That's
about
true.
Which is not what that movie is at all. That, yeah, that movie is
that movie was almost parody.
That movie is parody. That was the point, but it was totally
do
marketed.
Your part, be a citizen.
It was like when the first Mummy movie came out, it was marketed as a horror flick, and it turns out it was like a lighthearted family action comedy. So I hated the Mummy the first time I saw it because I wanted a horror flick, and I can enjoy it for what it
is. You know, I actually watched Stranger Than Fiction, and
oh, that was
you were telling me to watch it.
It was a good movie.
I'm gonna tell you what, same reason they marketed that movie.
It's a crazy Will Smith
thing. No, Will Smith.
Turn that
Will
off.
Ferrell.
Or what? Yeah, whatever.
They marketed that movie as like Meet the Fockers or relationship comedy is what they marketed it. And it was more of an art film than anything else.
I haven't seen
it. It was
that
weird. Thing. There's like it's almost sci-fi kind of.
I like that they never address why it's happening.
No,
it's just happening.
It's purely a plot device to put.
Yeah, I want to
listen.
Right.
He's just off. He's on his own fucking world.
I hate you.
Kill that.
That's our new background music.
No,
just
God.
Keep going.
But I was thinking there was another movie that it reminded me of very particularly the way they marketed it that was so wrong. But it was like, you know, your standard, like...
The Matrix 2.
Guy can't meet a girl. Girl, blah, you know, relationship fun. And it's silly. And then it wasn't at all. It was pretty serious. It was funny at times. It was mostly artistic. That was really strange.
American
good movie.
Yeah, it was a really good movie. And I loved Maggie Gyllenhaal in that.
And they made certain that I would never see it.
I know, it was depressing.
Like,
that was actually the problem, too. Well, I remember, because, like, Fight Club tanked in the theater.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, it fucking lost so much money. It made all of it back on DVD. It became, like, this underground cult classic.
The first time I saw Fight Club was projected on a wall in Justin's apartment at UTD.
Because Fight Club was seriously, it was promoted as Street Fighter the movie was promoted.
Oh, wow.
Like, everybody thought that it was, like, it's in one of those fighting movie. What? No.
How could they tell you what it was about?
I don't know.
How
like,
could you even...
I have no idea how you would ever do the marketing for that.
What were you going to say earlier? You said something about Starship
Troopers? Oh, I was working at the movie theater when Starship Troopers came out. And even I, who was getting like the movie theater newsletter, because they send them to theaters.
Did you get the memo?
Well, they send that shit to theaters for managers to read so that they're... knowledgeable about what the movie is,
like
so when
that
people
matters.
Well, yeah, I mean, but like certain theaters, because at the time I worked for Sony, so Sony gave a shit about like they wanted the you ultimate theater experience. They were trying to do something different,
yeah.
And then Sony got out of the business, went back to Lowe's, and then Lowe's sold to Magic Johnson, and then the whole thing went away. Like, okay. they've actually shut down all the Lowe's theaters in this area.
I didn't know that.
Yay. They're all now Regal theaters.
Never even heard of that.
But anyway, the only reason I watched Starship Troopers was because, like, it was misadvertised, even out to the theaters, they misadvertised it. And the only other reason I wanted to, because it was the first and true movie, the first only true movie in SDDS, Sony Dynamic Digital Sound.
Oh.
For theaters, and we had the complete setup for it, but like you get like a true, it was like ultimate surround sound.
That was one of the earliest like crazy multi-channel.
Yeah, because the film was wider and it had like
it had an extra row of audio
on the film because film is or the audio is analog.
Yeah.
And it's burnt on the film. Well, they had another extra little track on top of that, so we were all like, yeah, we're all geeking out over this film.
It's gonna be totally sweet.
And then we sat in the theater and watched it like at 2 a.m. when we screen movies, and we're like, what the fuck is this?
Like, what just happened?
Like, yeah. what's going on? Like, this is like USA Channel shit.
But when you know what you're going into, when you know what you're gonna get, it's actually pretty enjoyable.
It is.
Of a movie.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I mean,
it's ridiculous, gory violence. It's
like
plotless.
The movie was a joke on the actors that were in it.
It's like you gay watch.
Actually, what?
Oh yeah, Casper Van Dien thought this was going to be like a career launcher.
Yeah, no, totally. And Paul Verhoeven is like, you fucking pretty.
I'm
pretty fresh faced kids are the dumbest motherfuckers in the room. Check this shit out.
In that case, I would be up for having a shitty movie night with the most recent
Starship Troopers
because he's back in it.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen it yet though.
With Dix Houser.
Hey, you have nothing to, you can't complain over there because you are both like 10 things I like about you or whatever.
What?
The Joker. Yay, that was good.
Because hey, I saw it.
Heath Ledger.
I can't have an opinion on movies.
Yes.
Heath Ledger was fucking awesome long before Dark Knight.
I was just trying to find out if he was a good actor back then.
I don't care.
Turns out he was.
Next topic, pew pew.
And that girl with no facial expression is still horrible.
That was Jillie Magenhall.
Jillie Magenhall? No, it was not Maggie Gyllenhaal or Jillie Magenhall.
God damn it.
The girl from 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh.
Julia Stiles?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
She has
one facial expression.
She has angry face.
Next movie.
That kind of like that tight lip, like, but confused, like, what?
Mila Jovovich Tour de Force Resident Evil Apocalypse.
Wait. I want to cover this one.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you can have it.
Yeah. The first Resident Evil movie, cheesy and stupid, but fun and entertaining and not overly insulting. Everything after that was a massive piece of shit, and fuck you for even bringing it up.
It's on the list.
Fuck you. You said it. The words came out of your mouth.
Is this the one? Is this the most recent one that we saw in the theater?
Yes.
That I did the Joko Comic-Con?
Yeah.
Because I can't tell the difference in any of them. It didn't even make any sense. It's like, why is this even happening?
I don't know.
And they marketed that the shit out of that.
Of course
this
they did.
This is the movie to end all movies. Zombies and fire and crazy shit and crows. And you're like,
In Las Vegas with sand all over it.
Yeah, that movie was fucking abysmal.
Yeah, that was really, really bad.
This one, odd for the list. Alien 3?
Oh, that is such a sad story.
Which one is Alien 3?
The one with Rock.
It's the one where Rock. She's on the prison planet.
The black
where
dude.
She shaves
the
her head?
Yeah.
Wasn't Hellboy in that?
Wait, what?
No, he was in the fourth one.
He was in four.
Oh, okay.
Ron Perlman.
Yeah. Oh, that one. Okay. I actually haven't seen 3 since I was like
the one with the Rock. That's where they introduced.
That's the one they always show on.
They introduce Alien Vision.
Yeah. The crazy fisheye.
It's like the fisheye, and it runs up on the wall. And
yeah.
Their points
three
on this list are besides the fact that the movie killed off Newt,
which
the
I am
doggy
now okay
alien
with.
Was silly. I don't know. I didn't see it enough, so I just don't care. Any other thoughts on Alien 3? It started on Alien Resurrection.
Bad.
It doesn't even qualify as watchable.
And there are parts of Resurrection that are actually quite good. But
yeah,
Alien 3 is actually a really, really good movie that the studio destroyed.
It should not have been called Aliens. They shouldn't have used the Alien franchise. They could have casted it with someone else and came
like
up with
Space
a different
Prison, the movie.
Well, no,
came
up with a different creature.
No, no, it totally fits with Alien.
No, it doesn't.
100%.
For
those of you listening
one
at
and
home,
two,
you need to go.
That was it.
Find. The whenever they did the whole Alien Quadrilogy DVD box set thing, find the copy of Alien 3 from that, because the special features on it have It's basically this 2-hour-long documentary where the studio openly admits to, hey, we totally fucked this up.
So you like that documentary, but not necessarily the movie.
The documentary explains a lot of things, and I understand more about how it was made.
Care less.
Fuck you.
Understand more, care less. No, if they can't get that in the movie, then it's still not a good movie.
Well, no, because like Fincher walked off the set. He never finished the movie.
Oh, yeah, I heard
because
that.
they wouldn't let him make the movie. He never finished it. He never even had like a complete work print of the movie. He left like months before it was finished, and because the studio kept rewriting the script or like from underneath him.
Wow.
Next movie.
So he never had a chance.
Which Blade Trinity, I consider
skip it.
I consider unable to watch.
That was like, worse. That was worse than Resident Evil Apocalypse.
No,
worse
I mean,
than Resident Evil Apocalypse. Next.
God damn. Next movie.
Next.
The Faculty.
Never saw that.
Which I didn't see.
Not enough interest.
Kind of.
Okay. Next.
I saw a
Deep Impact. I have a problem with people saying this movie was bad. When I saw it, I had just seen Armageddon. And I was still young enough to go, explosions, yeah! And then I saw this, and I went, whoa, this is like a thoughtful version of that movie.
Holy shit, people died.
And Morgan Freeman is a badass president.
And Tia Leone, whatever
her
name is.
Hey, maybe that was like looking into the future that we didn't know about. Obama?
Morgan Freeman? Black guys? Presidents?
Kind of sound the same?
Not at all?
Whatever.
I just like that after he got out of that prison, that he... became president.
He was able to turn things around and became president.
Yeah, that shows you anybody can do anything.
You know, 40 years later.
Yeah, that shows you can do anything.
That means
He's like 110 in that.
Yeah,
movie.
In Deep Impact, he's about 110. Yeah.
Such a bad. It reminds me of Black Bush from Chappelle.
Yeah.
He killed my father! He tried to kill my father.
Okay.
Then. Deep Impact was actually...
I liked Deep Impact. I liked Elijah Wood in it. I liked
everybody in it was actually pretty damn good.
Taya Leone's not a good actress, but I liked her and her mom.
Okay,
dying.
Do you remember the father,
like at the shore with the massive?
Yeah, they okay, their love and
you,
then die.
Okay, you remember the dad then? What he looks like?
No,
it's been so long since I saw the movie. Yeah.
Who is it?
He's. I don't know what
is this
the actor
is. The grizzled old guy you were talking about from earlier?
Yes.
Oh, God damn it.
That's really?
Guy, that's the guy who...
No, Joel. We keep going. Eli can look this shit up if he cares that much. That
but I want to know. I'm interested.
That was the guy who could play... what's his
it
face?
It should be the guy from the oatmeal commercials.
Uncle Ben?
No. The oatmeal
the Quaker,
guy.
The Quaker man?
No, the oatmeal guy was like... Start each morning with oatmeal and diabetes.
Colin
Colonel Sanders?
The diabetes guy.
Diabetes?
Oh, you're talking about the guy
from
you want it
Walker,
to be Robert
Texas
Duvall?
Ranger?
You're talking about... No. Oh, you're looking up the wrong guy.
I'm just going through the
You're
list.
Talking about the guy from Cocoon.
Find Taya Leone. Look at her character's name. Look at
yes,
the other
I am
character.
Talking about the guy from Cocoon.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You want that to be Stan.
Taya Leone was... Her last name was Lerner. So it's someone else who's last...
Robin?
Maximilian Schell?
Yeah. He's got
it
a grumpy
familiar.
He's got a grumpy voice and he's got
who is
the look
guy.
He's been in various movies that
he's
you've
German.
Seen.
German. He's been in First und das Modkin der and Haus der Schlafenden Schonen das.
The first
Erblinknick D.
The first whatever. Next.
He must be German. He's only in German movies.
No, his last name is Scheil. Of course he's German.
I didn't read that part. Or care.
Right. Okay.
Next movie was Alien VP.
Okay.
Alien Vice President.
AVP is the movie where you should pretend it's not an alien and you should pretend it's not a predator and it's just
it's just a fucking clusterfuck.
That movie is mildly entertaining if you're drunk and you just pretend it's two like weird monsters.
That movie is like dealing with you having diarrhea shits. Going to the bathroom and then realizing that your toilet's backed up and now it's starting to like overflow at the top and now you got to deal with it.
Wow. Oh, you mean like that one scene in Dogma where the toilet kind of
backed up? So you know what you end up doing? You burn down your bathroom. Because you don't need it.
At all.
Next movie.
Oh, next movie. Event Horizon, Josh.
I feel like
you had some unresolved issues with this movie.
I love Event Horizon.
Because it's a good horror movie.
It is a really good horror movie.
It's not a science fiction movie. It is because it takes
space hell and now my eyes are gone. Blah!
Shut up.
You do that in a haunted house, relatively whatever, it works.
Yeah. You're basing your movies on haunted house techniques?
Okay, shut up, Joel.
Hit the wall with a pipe and people shit their pants. I worked there for 2 years.
Yeah. No, the movie is actually, it's extremely well done for what it is.
Yes.
They didn't have a really good way to end it, which is unfortunate.
My friend Cornmo made a really good song called Event Horizon, about Event Horizon.
Well, that's cool. You should play it.
Go to Cornmo.com and listen to it. It's good.
It's really interesting. One of the things I love about it,
Event Horizon,
again, from watching the special features on the DVD.
Sure.
The amount of actual set design that went into that movie is astounding.
Mm-hmm.
And it all comes together so well because everything about that ship is inherently just fucking creepy. Because
it was made by Oompa Loompas.
Right. But, I mean, there's a reason. Like, everything in that movie is deeply religious and, like, almost to an arcane sense.
I won't be surprised if I'm the only person that's seen this movie. It was a TV movie. Stephen King's The Langoliers.
I've seen that.
Starring Bronson Pinchot.
The short story? The short story was good.
Balki.
I read that.
Balki Bartokomus. First of all, I can tell that this was a short story. The fact that they stretched it into a two-hour movie made no sense at all.
Like 27 pages long. It was very short.
Which one was that? Was that the one with the little monster thing?
Yes.
The little, like, the everybody that's asleep on the plane passes through a portal, and if you're awake, you get vaporized.
That ended weird in the book anyway.
Well, in the book, they go back through the portal, and the one guy had to be awake to fly the plane through the portal.
So he sacrifices himself,
but everybody else...
But it was that the monsters come and, like, eat the previous day... Because you're living in the previous day.
Or something.
It was really bizarre.
Yeah, and they stretched that into 2 hours. It's basically 2 hours of people freaking out in an airplane terminal. Starring Balki Bartokomus from Perfect Strangers.
Not good.
Next movie, Reign of Fire.
I loved that movie.
I also think it's just a good movie. I don't think there's anything wrong with Reign of Fire.
There were dragons.
I actually didn't...
Batman.
Never really watched all
of it. I also think Christian Bale can do no wrong.
Yeah. So. I loved some of the things they did in that movie. There were not enough dragons. It was totally marketed.
Sure, it was
like,
expensive,
1,000 dragons, and there was like four. But the whole thing...
They looked
good. They did look good. The whole thing, whenever they're like... Everybody's locked inside of the giant castle or whatever, but then like you see their culture kind of evolve, and like the parents are telling bedtime stories to their children, and they're retelling The Empire Strikes Back, but it's like,
oh, I don't remember that.
They're telling this like massive story, and then like halfway through it, you realize that he's telling Empire Strikes Back to his children.
It's become mythology,
right?
That's funny.
And I'm like, that is so perfect because you know, like after civilization is destroyed, the adults still have all these memories.
When you're
pop culture
watching it, you get the impression that they have to pull out some sci-fi shenanigans, because how in the fuck did it happen so quick that we were unable to react? I mean, literally, you're talking about a monster with fire. We have atom bombs, and we have stealth jet planes. We should be able to defeat a monster with fire. But then they're saying that like their gestation cycle's like 15 hours or something, and there were millions of dragons quicker than anyone knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So... if that is a given, then yeah, maybe. But then the other thing is, it seems like, when or not, first of all, the Earth isn't going to be usable afterwards anyway. Plus, if there's like 20,000 people left, that's the end of humanity anyway. So the movie really didn't end on a high note.
It could happen. It could happen, and I don't mean to bring up 9/11 as a sore subject, but look how slow we reacted to shit going down in one place. I've never seen Reign of Fire, so I can't.
And we don't
say,
care about Britain.
No, because it starts in the UK. They're
no
like,
one cares about
sure, they're drilling in a mine shaft or something, and they
awaken
it up.
A dragon,
right? But what I'm saying is, if some massive shit happens really fast, I don't think we could react to it.
Well, I'm saying
fast
you
enough.
Have
and
to take for granted that it happens fast, because there's no animal that can gestate that quickly.
No,
yeah,
the alien gestates roughly that quickly.
This is supposed to be an earthbound animal. I like the fact that it says they killed the dinosaurs.
That's pretty cool.
I thought that was a good idea.
I guess
it's
this movie.
It's a good Saturday movie, man.
It's in HD. Don't go into it expecting it like, dude, it was totally a crazy dragon movie.
It's basically
a post-apocalyptic, like, how does civilization go on?
I have no expectations.
Christian Bale
in
a castle.
Yeah, they also, they do
McConaughey, bald.
They do skydiving.
That was cool.
It sounds completely ridiculous.
Point Break.
Kind of.
The only way they can think of to kill the dragon... There's this team of American dragon killers is roaming the world looking for dragons to kill them. And the way they fight dragons is by flying up in like a fucking Black Hawk helicopter and then jumping down at the dragon with like a net. And then most
of
the people
skydiving.
That do it die.
Sounds good.
But like they show it, they do it, and it's so preposterous, but it still comes off as being, like, fucking balls of steel.
Yeah, it sounds...
And plus, Matthew McConaughey does, like, the flying axe jump thing. It's in the trailer. Yeah. It was like the, I'm the totally badass, and it totally ends, like, Deep Blue Sea style, because the dragon just fucking eats him. Like,
so, anyway, if you want to see it, that's how it ends.
Spoilers.
The thing... The fact that this movie's on this list also makes me sad. The Fifth Element is in no way a worst anything. It is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay, wait.
I know what it is. I know what I expect. It delivers on every level of expectation and, like, surpasses all levels of expectation.
The problem... Okay, The Fifth Element ends up being, in some ways, like Starship Troopers, where The Fifth Element is a parody of sci-fi yes. action.
Yes.
But it does it so well that it elevates itself above.
Yeah, the parody aspects are overshadowed by the action, the effects. Even the story is good despite the fact that it's like a weak story.
Yeah.
The characters are extremely likable, like right off the bat.
And fucking Lilu multipass.
Yeah, Lilu Dallas multipass.
How can you argue with that?
You can't go wrong. I actually really like Bruce Willis in that movie.
Yeah.
Like, That's one of his best performances, well, despite the fact that
he's reliving
it's silly.
Die Hard, but with spaceships.
Die Hard in space. I also like the world they created. They showed you enough that it's really made me want to know more about that
sci-fi
world.
Future, colorful,
and they still had
McDonald's.
Didn't Luc Besson direct that?
Yes.
See, he's awesome.
Well, see, the thing is, he directed it because he hated American action movies, so he was going to make his own bad American action movie. And I think he was disappointed when people didn't get it and thought it was awesome.
He actually came up with that idea when he was, like, in junior high. The Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah?
When I was in art school, there was a... one of my instructors had the art of that book. And it's phenomenal. And I've looked everywhere for this book. The only place I found it... because it's out of print. And somebody was selling it on eBay for, I shit you not, $500.
Jesus.
It's a very, like, sought-after book. It's like in that weird, you know, like A5 large format.
Mm-hmm.
And he has sketches that he did in junior high of what the characters were and what he wanted them to be. And he based, the black guy.
Ruby?
President?
Yeah,
oh,
Ruby.
Ruby.
He based him off of like Prince and other stuff. And he had all these sketches of like Prince and stuff. He like came up with the whole concept. Of like Fifth Element when he was like 14 years old or something like
it
that.
It seems like
it was all put together.
Like a fucking,
did you ever play the game?
It's a 14-year-old wet dream.
No,
the game was terrible.
I'm
there was
sure
a PlayStation
was.
1 game of it. It was terrible.
That book. I wish I could get my hands on that book because like,
surprised somebody hasn't scanned it or something, put it online.
I know, but it's real because
if it's
also
that large format though. That's
it's
not
in
be
it's in right. French also. That's
oh,
the other.
Oh,
that's
shit.
The only fucked
F
up part
that.
Of it.
I've never seen this next movie, Enemy Mine.
Yes,
what
I've
is
seen
that?
It.
That sounds familiar, but I'm not.
That's one with the Louis Gossett Jr.
Learn important moral values from Dennis Quaid and Louis Gossett Jr., who doesn't want to learn about prejudice from two mortal space enemies marooned on a deserted planet for years, especially when one of the guys gets pregnant and dies, and Quaid has to raise the baby?
Yeah.
What?
It's really bizarre. Okay, basically, it's like two guys get stranded on a desert island.
Planet?
And No. I'm saying, like, in real life, it was like if someone got stranded on a deserted island and somehow one of them's a transvestite and has a baby or something.
Is that what happens in this movie?
Pretty much. It's really odd. Like, I saw this when I was a kid, and again, not knowing better as a kid. Oh, space, science fiction, must be good.
Yeah.
Started watching, I was like, what the hell is this? Like, why is Iron Eagle, like, all,
Iron Eagle.
Why is he like all weird?
Is he an alien?
He's the alien.
Oh.
And Dennis Quaid is the.
Is this like the '80s then?
Yes.
Oh.
And it's I got the point that they were like, hey, you shouldn't judge people because like they're too. There was an alien.
Dennis Quaid, you've got to raise my man, baby.
Iron Eagle is the is like the race of alien that the humans dislike.
Oh.
And they're like, oh, I hate you. And it's like, but you don't know anything about me. And it's like, well, we're stuck here, so let's get to know each other. And it goes on for way too goddamn long.
Jesus Christ.
And you're just like, And by that point, you don't want to be a racist anymore because they've beaten you into submission that you don't want to be racist because you're like, okay, fine. Just please end it, and I will stop being a racist. Just please end the movie, for fuck's sake.
This next movie, I feel the same way about, because it fooled me. And it's one of those where I left the theaters thinking I really liked it. Red Planet. which came out.
Wait, was that the one?
Which one?
There
that?
Were two. Wait, after Mission to Mars.
Mission to Mars. Mission to Mars had Tim Robbins.
Mission
Red
to Mars
Planet had
fucking
Val Kilmer.
Pissed me off so bad.
Yes,
I never saw Red
but
Planet.
Mission to Mars. It's just like Armageddon and Deep Impact. Mission to Mars was the reality based one,
right?
And Red Planet was the
good one.
The super sci-fi. Aliens.
I never saw
with Val Kilmer.
I was so pissed off at Mission to Mars that I did not watch Red Planet. If that makes any sense.
Sure.
I just didn't care about Mars anymore.
Oh wait, I've got hang on. I've got two of these confused.
Mission to Mars
Mission
was
to Mars
the one
is, I go to the planet and then the robot goes crazy and tries to kill me.
No.
Yes, that's Red Planet.
That's Red Planet.
With
Mission
with
to Mars was
Matrix
the one
woman.
Where yes. They're like, oh, a micro asteroid has punctured the hull, and we're going to use M&Ms to find it.
Yes, and then one actually had aliens at the end.
Yeah. The alien tier with, like, the worst CG I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that was bad.
And Tim Robbins is trying to, like...
Okay, Gary Sinise is in that movie wearing more makeup than a woman should wear.
Yeah, that's true.
The entire movie, he looks like he's a fucking prostitute, and it bothers me so much.
So that was Mission to Mars, which also should be on this list for fooling you into thinking it was good sci-fi, which it wasn't. Red Planet was just... Red Planet was so bizarre.
It's just a sci-fi
It's one of those
movie.
Movies that switches gears five times.
Sure.
It starts off as like, we're exploring this planet. What's going to happen? There's three of us. And then one
Kids
of us goes
in
crazy.
Space, sir.
And they kill one of the guys. And then there's these locusts that burn and
what?
Eat you.
They burn and they make oxygen.
Yeah. And then what? Out of nowhere, the robot goes nuts. And then it's a different movie.
I only like that movie
Pre-Robot Nuts is one movie, and Post-Robot Nuts is a totally different movie.
I only like that movie because I like the robot.
Oh, so it was like 2001.
Kind of. Yeah, it was 2001 on Mars.
Well, but 2001, actually, that was still the same weird movie the whole time, though.
The last one on this list is Signs, which is just
bullshit.
Terrible.
Bullshit, Signs is a great movie.
You're dumb.
It was
You're dumb.
The movie was dumb.
Signs... As a movie, was very well done. I loved it.
That actually, in my mind also, I wasn't that mad.
I thought it was horrible.
Signs has an okay script. It has excellent performances from all of the major characters in the cast. The side characters are kind of dumb and retarded. The old woman sheriff is stupid. And the fucking army general dude, he's stupid. But shut your mouth. Okay. From a cinematography standpoint, that movie is visually stunning.
Yeah, ignore all that. It was a dumbass movie.
Good
it looks.
From a cat scare standpoint, that movie had two or three of the greatest cat scares.
What's a cat scare?
It's whenever, like, oh, what's it going to be? Yeah. It's just, like, stupid, silly, like, the handmade, handheld kid's birthday
Spanish,
party.
The Mexican.
Whenever the alien walks across, out the window, that was a fucking... perfectly executed cat
that,
scare.
That, yeah.
That
the
was
fucking
good.
When they're in the basement and the kid like runs up against the wall and like they shine the flashlight at him and the hand moves and touches his shoulder. That is a fucking flawlessly executed cat scare.
If you
scared
to,
the shit out of me. It was wonderful.
I agree with Josh in that if you had to have the five moments that fucked with your head in a movie, the handheld camera alien walking across the
So well
the,
done.
That
it really
actually
was.
Because
it really was.
Didn't really see that coming. There was a lot of build up for it because you expect something stupid to happen and then something realistic happens.
Yeah.
And it happened so quickly and you were like,
and then they actually had the balls to fucking freeze frame the tape on the like, oh, hey, by the way, I'm an alien dude and I'm here. Check my shit out. And it wasn't like is it Bigfoot? Is it not? It was like, there's a fucking
there's
alien
clearly.
There.
Okay.
That's what
like
that is.
My problem
the suspense in that movie is built so well.
Your problems are you hate that guy.
My problems in that movie are completely. I'll say they're superficial, but it made me hate the movie. Number one, I hate M. Night Shyamalan. Number two, I hate Mel Gibson. Okay. Number three...
Those two have been thrown out.
I do not hate Mel Gibson.
Number three is that you cannot convince me that any aliens are like, bro, where are we going to invade? Dude, let's go to Earth. No shit. Have you checked it out? It's fucking awesome. Let's go. Hey, there's no water there, right? Because, you know, water kills us. No, dude, as far as I can tell, there's not two-thirds of the planet covered in water.
Wait.
Throwing that one out also.
Why?
Because of War of the Worlds. War of the Worlds set precedent.
This isn't the law. That was dumb, too.
It wasn't. That's geek mythology.
There is nothing. Recently? There is nothing wrong with basically an invasion force showing up and not realizing that there's like one thing there.
I agree with
them.
Josh because recently, you know, did you see that image where they said that they found a sun with planets circling a sun, and they're like, that's the first alien planet we've seen like Did you not see, yeah, did you guys see this?
It's the first direct actual photograph of
an actual
alien. Yeah, but
it's
trillions of miles away.
Sure,
right?
It is,
but,
yes.
But if it was like our planet's going to blow up because we come up with fusion energy and we fuck ourselves over and we decide we're going to head over there. And we're like, we're just going to go over there and we're going to go inhabit that.
We're
going to go live
with them.
We're going to
do the best we can.
It's like, have you checked it out? No, but you know what? We found a place, so we're going.
Like, that's our only choice.
I give alien, like, movies, I give them that in that saying that because I don't buy into the...
The other thing that defeats those aliens is closets. I'm sorry, cupboards. It was a cupboard.
Whatever.
Whatever.
How the fuck do I get this cupboard?
Okay, well, they made that was
fucked
up.
Oh, hey, there's crackers.
But I'm going to throw out...
Oh, check it out. It's a knife.
The jury is going to throw out three of your reasonings. Because...
Oh, but see, he brought up a good one. Because the whole, like, the alien, like, locked in the door and you see the little shadows moving here. That was another, like, expertly crafted build of suspense.
I like that movie.
I love that movie. You are so wrong.
The best.
You're superficial.
Fucking M. Night Shyamalan comes in at the end and he's got, there's got to be a twist. His wife predicted how to kill him when she died.
It's not predicting.
Blah.
It has nothing to do with predicting. The whole point of that movie was, that's what the word science is. Everything happens for a reason. The whole, that movie is about the word fate.
Did you not get that?
Did you?
You missed the memo.
The wife is dying and she's like, swing home. Swing up, blah, my organs
sweet
fell out.
Cherry.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Okay,
and he's like, that's what she meant. She meant we should hit this glass of water with a baseball bat and kill the aliens.
Dude, bro, I hate to break this to you, but that's like every movie.
No, I thought it was gay.
Your opinion is wrong in this case.
We'll agree to disagree.
Signs was the last good thing that M. Night did. The Village was almost a good thing.
No.
The Village would have been fine if the last 30 minutes were completely different.
Here's where you're wrong. That is incorrect.
But
I never did see that.
It was dumb.
The Village, at least, was, from a character standpoint and from how it was filmed and how it was scored, was all very beautifully done until it got fucking stupid at the end. No, and I was just like, fuck this.
I hated it. Like, I wanted it to be...
I like the other one. Unbreakable.
Unbreakable is actually that's my favorite movie from M. Night.
I never saw anything else. I didn't see Lady in the Water.
Oh, I didn't see that either. Did you see Unbreakable?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That was good. I like that one.
Yeah. Well, because like Sixth Sense was, I mean, you have to talk about Sixth Sense like the first time you saw it because it fucking like beat you in the face and you were like, holy shit.
You know what the funny thing is? He introduced a genre that he could not actually maintain.
It's hard. When everyone expects a twist coming, it has to be so fucking out there so that nobody can, like, guess it coming in.
He introduced, like, he made fusion energy.
He made one of the best movies that I still rank in, like, my top 20 of all time.
Exactly.
And then he should have stopped making movies.
He could not control it.
Yeah. He made a monster he couldn't control.
Exactly.
They expected too much of him, and then he...
Well, it's not so much that. It's that he was trying to play the same trick over and over, and I don't know why he couldn't branch off and do just, like, a serious drama.
There's a very specific thing in Hollywood and in music and in movies and in books is that you might spend your entire life crafting your magnum opus, the best thing you will ever do, and that might be all you've got. Who knows how long he had been planning Sixth Sense in the back of his mind. He's going, and then the guy's dead at the end, and you never know. Oh my god, it's gonna be so fucking great.
And
it's gonna blow people's
minds.
And
he never touches a single
door. Oh my god, I'm so smart.
And no one was ever talking to him, even though it looked like they were.
Who says you have to be better than that? Why can't you just make one fantastic movie?
Yeah, and then be done with it.
And then people pressure you to make another one, but maybe you're just not that talented. Maybe you spent 20 years coming up. Bands that release these fantastic initial albums,
and then
their follow-ups
are
like...
Oh, man, dude, that first Disturbed album was fucking great, man.
Then all their follow-ups are like, no,
actually,
that's all we had.
To be fair, their follow-ups have been pretty terrible.
Well, yeah, that's, music is a different... It literally is a different genre, but you can't... Because music can be, it's layered.
I'm saying creativity as a whole.
Well, no, but creativity goes into categories.
You have your first, you have your entire life to write that first album.
Because
you might have been working on songs since you were 14,
but
they're the best songs you'll ever make. And then you have 2 years to make another album and you're not that talented.
But you, like, for what you do, you're expected to have something great 3 times a week.
And I deliver every time, 100%.
I know.
I can't keep a straight face.
No, it's true. And if you want more, you can donate and go to the vault. But what I'm saying is, like,
you can see the shitty ones that he discards.
Right. Yeah. What I'm saying, though, are that you are right. There are some people who can build up enough talent and strength to make one painting.
Yeah.
That may be all they do. But yeah, you're right. Someone's going to come in.
No, focus at this. Maybe Hijinks and Sue is the only thing I've got. Now, it's episodic and it's in pieces.
You already blew your wad on that one. That was
But let's say someday someone goes, "Hey, we really like this, but it's not very good for what we want to do. We need you to develop a new comic and then we're going to turn that into a cartoon and we'll give you $10 million." Who says I've got anything else?
Well, no, yeah. I mean,
I do, and I'm not telling you, but
I don't know. It comes down to, like, I don't know. This comes all the way back around to Chappelle, where it's like, when do you know, like, that's it? Like, or
he watched those sketches that they were doing and said, "This is not as good. We're losing it. Yeah, we're missing something. The creativity's gone. The passion's gone. I've been working 20 hours a day for 3 years. I got nothing left. I'm out. Fuck it." Yeah. And the balls to do that in spite of all that money. Oh my God, I can't even imagine. But there needs to be a time. Seinfeld should have ended 2 seasons before it did.
M. Night Shyamalan should have come out a long time ago.
Unbreakable should have been his last movie.
Seinfeld should have, at the very least, ended one episode before it really did.
That's true. I did enjoy parts of the last season, but...
And not to sound super elitist, but maybe these people could go and, like, maybe, like, M. Night Shyamalan would be a great associate writer, like, or help somebody put something together.
Typically, people do that after they flame out.
But
I'm convinced that
I don't think those guys have the... They can't let go of their ego.
I think that's going to be part of it. I would love to see him...
They can't let go of the paychecks, dude.
I would love to see him direct somebody else's script.
Yeah.
Because he's actually, with the exception of The Happening or whatever, because Marky Mark can suck a dick from that. But for the most part...
I never saw that, but that will be a good shitty movie now.
Yeah. He's a really... 99% of the time, he's a really good director. He gets really good performances out of people.
Yeah.
And
somehow he tricks good actors to be works, in his
movies. He always finds really good cinematographers and, like, really good people that, like, light his sets and, like, all that shit. Like, the look of his movies is actually excellent.
Yeah, fucking, I agree.
So he has a talent, just not the one that people want from him.
Right.
Right. He needs...
But here's what happened. They go, "Goddamn, M. Night. Buddy, it's Jazz. It's Jazz from L.A., buddy, from the studio. Listen, last movie. Loved it. Excellent. Didn't see it myself, but the numbers are fantastic. We need 3 more in the next 6 years. Going to be $15 million personally to you each. Another kickback on the back end if DVD sales do good." You're like, I need to do this. This is the right thing for me to do, regardless of any artistic ability.
That pressure is there, but I think his ego gets built up by himself that he can't let that go because, again, look at Chappelle. He's the
antithesis.
Of that, saying that, you know what? There'll be another time, maybe. And if not, oh well. You know,
how many people get to walk away with everyone wanting more? Almost nobody.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like a band. I'm trying to think of two examples. I used to have them and I can't remember them now. A band that either released an amazing breakthrough album, not a single, but an album, and then tanked. Oh, the Toadies.
Yeah.
The Toadies released a flawless 90s alternative rock album in Rubberneck, and then 6 years, 7 years later, a mediocre follow-up at best. I do enjoy listening to about 8 tracks of it, but there was so much pressure on them to do just as good with that they couldn't.
They're coming to Edgefest.
I saw them just about like a month ago. They were amazing.
With Stone Temple Pilots.
STP made nice. STP made 2 good albums in a row, a shitty album because of Heroin, and another amazing album. Heroin. Number 4 was second best album.
I get 3 and 4 confused. Which ones are which?
Tiny Music is the one that had like Tripping on a Hole in a Paper Heart and Yeah. Tiny Music had like Lady Picture Show, Tripping on a Hole, Big Bang Baby.
That was
he sang the whole album. That was 3. Big Bang Baby, crash, crash, crash. Like he couldn't sing in that one. Number 1, they made No Drugs. None of them were on drugs at all, and they made a fantastic grunge album. Number 2 was your very solid follow up. He started doing heroin during the recording of that, but it was the perfect evolution of like. We were kind of rough at the beginning. Here we've learned our instruments better. I've learned to sing a little bit better. More chances we're taking. By 3, they were like, we want to break up and we have to make a record. Number 4 was called Number 4, and it was fantastic. It was hard rock. They were back.
He was clean for 5 months when they recorded it. The tour was amazing. Number five, their last album, was a shitstorm of crap.
Was that Shangri-La?
Yeah, Shangri-La Di Da. Oh, yeah. It was fucking horrible. Every song on that album was horrible.
I would say that three wasn't god awful, but it was not. It
wasn't up to par with where they were going.
It was very mediocre.
It was very obvious what was going on, though. I mean, like, they were falling apart as a band. Yeah. They broke up for like 4 years after that, but. I'm trying to think of any bands that were just like out of it. They were like, these are going to be the next guys to kick your ass till the end of time. And then they had nothing after that. There have been bands that have done that. What about Days of the New? Remember that?
Oh, I was going to say Temple
of the Dark.
Will be so
Oh, wow, I'd forgotten about that song. I was
and
thinking
Touch, Stand, and Peel.
How did that one go?
It's like, I know the name.
Never know, I can't let it go. Won't you touch me? I won't let it go. That guy was horrible.
I saw them live opening for Metallica.
He talked about how, like, there was buzz around him. He's like, this guy is going to revolutionize acoustic metal rock. He invented it.
Holy shit, I just realized it was 10 years ago that I saw that show. Wow.
I think it's funny that you bring up
I ever smoked pot.
That you bring up Metallica, because Metallica, all of their creativity was fueled by the fact that they were young, angry, stupid, and drunk.
Yeah, just fucking completely worthless human beings.
And
it's wonderful.
Bottom of the barrel shit of humanity just so happened to be able to play guitars like nobody's fucking business. And then Cliff dies, and then it's downhill from there. And they sober up, and then don't, and then do, and then don't, and then do, and then don't. But they lost their motivation. The motivation was we're young and stupid and drunk. I don't know. Stick true to yourself, kids. Stick with what you know. Are we just about done for the post show?
I guess so.
Anybody got
it
anything
just
else?
Looped it back around to that music.
I gotta go pick up my kid.
I don't know. Hey, do you want to hear one of Dave's songs?
Who's Dave? Dave McGarry?
Yeah. Oh, is there new Preston Gray?
Mm-hmm.
You want to end on that?
I'll listen to that.
Sure.
Pimp it, and then we'll let it play all the way through. And then
I
won't
don't
anything.
Know when my friends are going to be putting out their record, but this is the mastered version, so they're going to duplication.
I'm looking forward to it. I fucking love that first
Preston,
album.
Okay, then this is going to
Who is it, where can you find them?
Okay,
this one's really good.
These are my friends, Preston Gray.
Preston Gray. It's a band.
No, it's a band. It's not a guy. My friend Dave, who's the singer, lead guitar player. PrestonGray.com. I don't know. Just go there, check it out.
Brought to you by Preston Gray.
And let me find one that I think would be cool.
I like that sad one.
No sad ones.
Aww. Yeah, that is Gray with an E, not an
energy.
A, by the way.
Oh, you're gonna like this actually, because Josh will get what's going on here. So
because I haven't heard
this
any
one's
of
the called
stuff.
Caravan Inn.
Thanks for hanging out for the post show for podcast number 29. We leave you with a song by Preston Gray, PrestonGray.com.
Caravan Inn.
Bye.
me on tambourine, by the way.
Do you know why that is? I recognize it. That's the one very popular one.